And we welcome you inside another edition of the Hoopball Sacramento Kings podcast on this Monday. Sam Clemente here with you, alongside, as always, the incomparable and all-knowing Jill Adge. And Jill, it's been another weekend for the Sacramento Kings, another long one. They have not won an NBA basketball game in 10 days. They go into Detroit tonight to try and snap this four-game streak. And they'll have to do so knowing that their coach is officially on the hot seat. Sam Amick and Shams broke the news, if you could even call it news. It's really not surprising to anybody that if this streak continues as the streaks did last year, that Walton, shockingly, will be out of a job. So that's just great.
What's hilarious is you had the article last week. Everyone's rowing together. Oh, we love it. Everything's great. And then 5 days later. But what does that also tell you about this place continually? I mean,
it begs a lot of questions.
Nothing that we don't know, right? That we all said at the drop of a hat, anything can change. Like, I mean, that's
nothing surprises us anymore. Nothing can hurt me.
And again, it doesn't matter what the hell you say. You got it. Like, until something happens, like, let me know then. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if for years we've heard about maybe trades. For years we've heard about, you know, righting the ship. For years we've heard about culture changes, and it's rinse and repeat every time. Like, it's until you actually show something on the court.
Sorry. We don't care. Yeah, I'm not gonna get too invested in it, and that's fair, and that's a good way to approach.
And you put out the puff pieces, like, I mean, which Twitter and social media goes down rabbit holes, but that's all they're there for. Hey, look at this over here. Don't look at this.
Yeah. Hey, look what I have, shiny objects. Yeah, we're all just like moths to a flame. And you're right on. It's like, you know, the things happen fast in sports. Things change quickly. And for the Kings, it's last Monday we're reading the piece after they lost to the Suns about McNair and how the team's vision is rowing the boat together, as you said, and all that. And then here we are 7 days later. And we're one potential blowout loss in Detroit away from Walton getting out of town. Yeah. So this is fun. Let's start, though, before we dive too far into Walton. Let's go back and review Friday's game, a game that I warned you and Connor, our guest on Friday, Connor Sutton, I was a little nervous about just because I thought the Thunder had started to play a lot better. They had won three straight at that time. Their young talent was starting to show up. But the Kings came out. They kind of dominated from the beginning. They were making their shots. They weren't allowing Oklahoma City anything easy. Even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't seem to be killing it right away. And then the second half came and everything fell off. Tell me if you've heard that before, Jill.
Well, and this is the thing. It doesn't even matter who we're playing anymore. You know what I mean? Like, and there was a great quote from Jokic yesterday. They were playing the Blazers without three starters, right? Like, we complain, oh my God, we don't have Halliburton. We can't do anything. Like, everything's lost. They're without three starters, like three main pieces, right? And they go out there and they freaking whoop Portland's ass. Like, I mean, it was like clean. But again, next man up mentality, coach doesn't accept less. Everyone knows their role. Everyone's bought in. Like, I mean, it was rookie, you know, the draft pick, freaking Bones, who I love. But I mean, this dude's out there, you know, just no fear, like out there playing both ends of the floor, giving it to him. I mean, and we can't even get multi-year veterans to do that here. I mean, it's a joke. It's at this point, it doesn't even matter who we're playing unless they're going to show up consistently. It doesn't matter if we're playing someone good or someone who we think is bad or they should win. This team hasn't earned anything so far for us to think, oh, to me, they should win or they shouldn't do this, because they haven't proved, like, they still have yet to prove who they are besides being consistently inconsistent. Right. Like, that's all that this core group has ever shown to us. Oh, we can win 9 straight and lose 9 straight. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is.
Yeah.
It's
almost impressive in some way. Like, as you say it like that, like, we can go ahead and reel off 10 straight wins, but we can also then immediately lose 10 straight. So, like,
and it really doesn't matter who we're playing. Like, they do it multiple times throughout the year against good teams and bad. Like, there's no, I mean, it's,
I have to say,
and
this,
it's mind boggling.
It's mind boggling. That's yes. I, like everyone, Jill, you know, I've had heartbreak. I've I've been dumped. I'm a Raider fan, so I've dealt with, including last night, just so much goddamn misery, like so much pain. You know, life is tough. You have a lot of moments in life where you're just frustrated or something happens that irritates you. However, it's truly incredible because these Sacramento Kings, and I'm 1000% being honest when I say this, are the one constant in my life that just brings me the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And that's fucking nothing. It's just pain. It's pain and misery. Those are the two key words I like to say about being a Kings fan. It's just pain and misery. And again, I'm a Raider fan, and they've at right. least given me some fun things over the years that I followed the playoffs in 2016. The Kings, though, in the time that I've been a fan of this team, and a lot of kids my age have been a fan of this team, if they've started around the same time I did, they've gotten nothing, Jill, nothing from this team but this bullshit that we're talking about today, and I've been talking about for the past 10 days, and for the past 16 years. When's it going to end? It's just like the ever-ending question. Right.
And what's even crazier to me is, right, we talk about being consistent or average on both ends of the court, and that can get you somewhere. It blew my mind when I was looking up the last four games that our defensive rating the last four games is actually 16th in the league. But you want to know where our offense dropped?
Where did it drop? 16th, middle of the pack.
I'm pretty sure it's 27. Okay, we went from like 6, 7 or whatever just through these four games. It literally went from like top 5, top 6 to 27 through this four game span. So again, they've yet to prove they can play both ends of the court at all, like at one time at all. It's, oh, we're going to play defense, but that means all of a sudden we can't play offense, or all of a sudden, you know, if we're going to be good at offense again, we can't play defense. Like,
can't be complete. Can't put one on one together.
Yeah. Their second half defense in these games is
middle of the pack again.
10. They're finishing games at 10. But you know where they're finishing their games on offense?
26th.
29th.
I gave them too much credit.
So again, like, can't even be like, hey, let's be 15 and 15 or 16 in this. Like, no, it has to be like, we move up one end and then completely drop off the
bottom out in the other.
So, and I mean, I knew our offense was bad, but I didn't realize it was like that bad. And I actually thought our defense was worse. So that kind of shocked me, but it just goes again to show that like this team can never somehow figure out how to do two things at once.
Yeah. And
that even takes me back to the Jaeger days where he was always like, I want, like, we're having to still stay on A because until they can comprehend A, I can't go to B and C, mm-hmm. like as much as I want to.
Right.
Until I see it comprehended and in the game, I can't move on. And it's like they've been stuck in A like continuously for 3 years. And so as much as, you know, it's just because you can point blames in multiple directions doesn't mean you don't think, a coach should or should not be fired, or player should or should be traded. It's all of them, right? Like, it's no one to me is necessarily more to blame or less. Like, I put it on all of them. I mean,
how could you not at this point? Walton
it's top
be
down.
The first
this is your job. Blamed. It's top down and it's not working. And at some point you're going to have to shake it up because the core we've seen for, three, 4 years is this, like, you're Can't not seeing change.
No. And what do they say the definition of insanity is, Jill? You do the same thing over and over again, expect something different. That's the Kings.
You can fire a coach, but to me, like, you might get some improvement, but I would be shocked if it's drastic based on this team still showing me through two coaches doing the same thing and making the same mistakes. And I mean, maybe they could prove that wrong, but I mean, at some point I think both need to be changed.
No, like, I agree with you. And I think the thing that could save the team this year, if they can be saved, which, you know, they're 13 games in, they're 5-8. There is a lot of overreaction, but, you know, that's what happens when shit like this happens.
When it's 15 years in, I mean, that's
right. Yeah. There's no, patience time window. It's like, we're impatient.
Well, losing well, right? Like, no. That, I mean, to me, you know, again, where it's like how they're playing, it's not even like it's good. Right. So, yeah. I mean, to me, you could at least throw on, well, like,
and you're losing a bad team.
They're kicking ass out there, but you're losing. Like, it's not even that.
No, I don't know. Yeah, if I've ever really got a chance to say that about the Kings. But you need to, if you're going to have any hope, I think at this point, it's clear that You need to make a coaching change and shake that portion of it up. And then, yeah, you have to shake up this roster because this group of guys has proven at this point
for 3.5 years.
They're not going to be it. There's talent there, and you can flip some of those guys for other talent, I think, with draft picks as well, probably thrown in there, which the Kings have their draft picks. But you're not going to win with these guys. You're not going to win with this coach, and you're not going to win with this current roster. That's okay, Monty McNair, because you can switch the coach, at least for the rest of the year, with Alvin Gentry, which I can talk about him in a little bit, and then you can make a trade. He's well-versed in making trades.
And the sucky thing is 29 other GMs know that we're back to the wall. And so good luck finding anything of substance. That's what it sucks. It's like we've thrown our hands out there. Everybody knows that it's like, I mean, oh, if you want this, pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it is what it is. We're no mystery at this point. So, I mean, anyone can hold anything hostage they want.
Do you think this team would be in a better position than 5-8 if Wes Van Celt was the coach? With the roster being still as it is? I think so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I just think that there's
just based on his history. Right. I mean, but
and I know
again,
you're a fan, and obviously he's done great in Washington. I'm a fan of his. I just think that.
But you know what you would have? You could at least then say, hey, we made the coaching change. It didn't work. Boom. Now we got to do this. Now we're still finger pointing at everybody because we haven't changed anything for 3 years. We're still the same, you know, and the messaging that comes out wants you to point at everybody because you still don't know who's pulling the strings. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just so frustrating, but to me, at least if you had made the move or made the move 2 years ago, when they still haven't learned how to fire a general manager and a coach at the same time, regardless of money. I mean, hold on to Vlade if you don't want to get rid of money. Like, do you know what I mean?
The pandemic
like,
hurts a little bit though. You know,
right. But they fired him during the pandemic knowing what they were doing. I'm saying like, you can't keep firing one person and not completely cleaning house because you end up with this same cycle 3 times now under your watch, 3 times you're in this same cycle. At one point are you going to say, maybe I need to stop making this cycle?
It's just so obvious when teams have poor ownership.
That's the thing is you fired someone during a pandemic when you knew you were already losing money. You did it after the bubble.
He stepped down technically, did he not? So that kind of,
but it was after the ultimatum was already made.
True. So,
it's the same thing they did with Pete and Vlade when they brought Vlade in and we stripped you of your powers, but we want to keep paying you. So will you just take being number two now? Do you know what I mean? Like make the move. And even if he did step down after all that, clean house, right? Like, again, because you walked into the same scenario you had created two times prior to that. Like, that's my thing, is at what point are you going to ever learn from your mistakes? Like, it's
the endless question, isn't it, Jill? We've been asking that for so, so long. When are
because
you ever
when
gonna
you keep
figure
doing
this,
this
shit out?
Yeah. When you keep doing this, you're going to keep going down the same hiring, firings, blaming this person, no blaming
this person.
You're stuck
in a cycle.
Like it's, and then at some point, right, it's Luke's going to be gone and then nothing changed, possibly if no roster moves change. And then what? Are you going to fire Monty at the end too? And then we start all over. But then did you allow Monty to make a hire prior to firing him? Like, and then you're back at square one again?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like it's.
The only thing
until you actually get two people on the same page and then them get multiple years together, coming in together, building the same thing together, to me, you're going to keep getting this cycle.
And it's not crazy that concept is not weird. That's how most functional organizations work. The GM, every functional organization, they pair the two together. They go in at the same time and they usually leave at the same time. And I will say the only thing that gets me optimistic, keeps me a little optimistic, is the fact that Monty McNair is there. I do believe in the guy. I haven't seen him really do anything so acai.
His biggest thing is he knew what he was getting into, right? He knew what he was coming into. And if you're going to make a playoff or break, like this is what you get.
Yeah.
Right. And so you need to shake it up.
Is hitch himself to Walton, which was always confusing. Everyone wondered why he did it. I think it's powers above saying we really can't financially, can't get rid of this guy yet. We're still paying him a shitload. And Monty's like, all right, fine. I'll spin zone this and say that I want continuity. The players like him, which they did. They came out and all voiced their approval of Walton. That usually helps a coach keep his job. But it's not his guy. It's never been his guy. So the fact that and in 1 week the story changes, I'm not necessarily shocked
by
that.
Well, my thing, too, is it's like the money that you're paying him is not changing by letting him coach it 10 games. That's my most frustrating thing. And I tweeted that out last year, too, was what's going to frustrate me is if you now get rid of him at the beginning of all this, when we knew that this would all happen.
What's going to happen?
Like, and so again, we're not learning anything that we didn't already know. And the money they have to pay him didn't change between now and then. So it was like, I mean, and you never, and because a GM has never been able to like bring in legit, hire their own coach, you never know who's pulling the strings. That's another problem too, because he didn't get to come in and say, all right, I'm doing interviews, I'm hiring this person. You know, that's his guy, and any move going forward regarding that guy, it's going to be his move. Now it's pandemic money. Is it his guy? Is it not his? Like, we've never, you can say what you want publicly all you want, and ultimately it falls on you because that's your job title. But we all know the crap that goes on behind closed doors. But at the end of the day, you took the job, you knew what you were getting into. And
going to say, if you had anything you wanted to say, I don't even really want to cover the Thunder game.
It was the same usual.
Yeah, we don't need we're
the same story ourselves. We've seen, unfortunately.
Like they did. They got outscored in the fourth quarter, which is impressive, especially considering OKC does not score very well or average that many points a game. They got outscored 28-17, dropping their fourth straight. Thunder have now won four straight, or actually that streak might be over. I haven't kept up to date with what they've done since Friday. They might have played another game, but De'Aaron Fox. It's just like emphasizing what's wrong with this team right now. Of the many things is De'Aaron Fox has the ball in his hands. You have 5 seconds left to go in the game. That's the guy you want with the ball in his hands, try and win a game. And he gets it taken relatively easily by Lu Dort, who's an outstanding defender, not the guy I would have personally tried to pick on in that situation. And then he takes it all the way and makes the layup, easy layup, and game's over. So I'm glad I didn't watch the ending. I was watching USA beat Mexico. That made me a little excited. At least I got happy about that. But
you know what was funny about this game is the second half, they were 27th in offense and defense.
Oh, so they found some
level. So they were consistent in something horrible in the second half of that game.
Like, I'm already exhausted, Jill, and that just makes me more exhausted. Just hearing that. So they do play Detroit today at 4. I don't even know if we want to talk about like what our keys are for this game. Don't lose. Do not lose to Detroit, to the Pistons. They're not going to have Kelly Olynyk. The Kings seem to be all hands on deck, relatively. The G League guys aren't obviously going to be there. Lewis King is hurt, too. I didn't realize this. He didn't play yesterday in the Stockton Kings home opener because he had a hamstring injury.
So he, the last Stockton game at the very end, like he had just gone off on his, he hit like 18 or something in the second half, like something crazy.
Right.
And he came down, he stepped down wrong or collided with something happened where he collided and he limped off and didn't play like for the last 5 minutes, but you never heard anything about it after. So I didn't know until I turned on the game and he wasn't playing, but there was never any announcement. And so to me, when I'm like, why aren't they bringing Lu King on the road trip? Well, maybe that would have been good to know if we had known that he was actually hurt this time. Like, again, there's no,
they don't like doing that for some reason. It's so bizarre.
And so, I guess he's rehabbing there. I don't know, but yeah, I'm still never said anything before the game. Like, oh, he's out. You know what I mean? Like there was.
Yeah. Probably because no one on a media team actually even knew that themselves. I meant to read this tweet from Tim Maxwell, Sacktown Baby Giraffe. Last season, this is his tweet. Last season, the Kings were 5-8, having posted the 23rd best record in the NBA. They were in the midst of what would be a 4-game losing streak. So they snapped it, obviously, after 4 games and then went on that 9-game losing streak later on. Now the Kings, of course, are currently 5-8, have the 23rd best record in the NBA, and they're currently riding a 4-game losing streak. So does it end tonight? Is it the exact repeat of last year, or is it same story?
But I would say it's not even a repeat of last year. So since the year Malone was fired, right? They started that year 7-5, right? The first 12 games, 7-5. Malone was fired. Corbin was fired. Coral was hired. That very next year, they started 4-8. Carl was fired. Next year, 4-8, Boogie traded. Next year, 3-9. Oh, it was Fox, you know, his rookie season. Next year, 7-5, Jaeger fired. Next year, 5-7, Vladdy fired. Next year, 5-7, assistant coach is gone. This year, 5-7, is Walton going to be gone? And maybe sooner than the other two. Like it has been consistent for since 14-15 and when Vivek took over. Like it is the same thing over and over. And you keep seeing coaches fired, then GM fired, coaches fired, then GM fired. Like never them fired together. Like it's, but at some point too, is it this team is like, yes, we've drafted well the last 2 years, knock on wood, you know, like, right, we figure at least so far. But this team is never going to move anywhere if our biggest trades in this 15-year drought is Rudy Gay and Harrison Barnes. Like, those are your two trade caps with good that players you can too, hold like, on.
Good trades for the Kings in the end.
Right, they got good but players, they're not.
But nothing happened.
But it's two players in 15 years yeah, for you well, to hold yes. your cap on. Like, with nothing else. And it's two players with hirings, firings, and your core staying the same. Like it's,
I you're said not the other
gonna,
day,
you're not going to make a huge jump. No offense to those two. If that's your two oh, yeah. that you expect to get you over without, you know, all of the other pieces aligning. So, I mean, you missed out on generational talents. You traded draft picks away for seemingly what you found out was no reason after that because they didn't know the rules. Like it's self-inflicted wounds over oh, and over. Yeah.
I said on Friday, Jill, I tweeted out, I think you liked the tweet that we don't deserve Harrison Barnes. The Kings don't deserve Harrison Barnes. For all the good that guy is, and he's been an outstanding professional and had an outstanding NBA career, started out by winning a title in Golden State. You know, he was on cloud nine at the beginning of his career. Couldn't have been in a better situation. The Mavericks signing for him was a swing and a miss, although he got paid a lot of money, but didn't do anything there. Got shipped to the Kings for a bag of potato chips. And, you know, the team has just been in this constant cycle of misery. I just always go back to misery. It's like the instinct word that I just want to splurge out. And he's mad. Like, you can tell Barnes is frustrated because he's getting asked the same questions. He's getting put in the same situations. The guy deserves better than this crap. And like, we're fans. We have to put up with it. He has to deal with it, like, head on every day. That's his job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Harrison Barnes to go, but if Harrison can go to a contender,
I feel so bad that they keep throwing him out there.
I would be like, God bless you, man. I'm so happy for you. Like, I hope you go win another ring somewhere far away from Sacramento. Because
has to get tired of answering these same questions.
I would.
Like, and it's rinse and repeat that they throw him out there too.
To like, the Wolves.
No one else. Is, yeah. I mean,
I feel bad for him.
I love the guy just because he has been such a consistent for us.
Of course.
But it's so frustrating that.
When do you think, Jill?
Oh my God.
What did you? If you get any news about that, I don't know about the Kings or somehow.
Yeah, I got a message from someone. Just okay. The stupidity that we've been saying. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well.
But it just confirmed what we were saying, like okay. from someone.
Someone with the Kings. When do you think Walton gets canned? If you're going to make a guess, seems inevitable.
I mean, I don't think it'll go 9 games this time, but you put that out there. Now you got to, you got to follow through with it. Like that's. I mean, it's this is the thing weird. Too. Like, just if you're going to thinking about make the move, just make the move. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? The half-ass stuff. I saw. Like, and that's the same thing that I just got, you know, from someone like that. Oh, they were half-assed last year. Should we do it? Should we not? Oh, we don't really know. Like, and so you're just continuing your.
Yeah. Pick a side. Like, take a side. I saw a good tweet as you say that, that said like, what's the point of waiting if this losing streak drags on? Like, that's going to be more indicative of this team? Like, no, obviously not. This team hasn't been good with Walton. Walton hasn't been good since he became a head coach. What are you waiting to find out?
Right. Winning or losing this isn't going to tell us anything we didn't already know.
Yeah. Bingo. Yes, exactly.
Cutting off a 5-game streak. Like, I don't know. But then are you going to wait till the next losing streak. Like, I mean,
yeah,
just, then you have the same one again. That's kind of my thing, is it's what, so now that we're in the first streak, you're going to throw the ultimatum out there to get them to stop it. And then say, if it happens again, you know, we're not giving the warning this time.
I don't want to live in that.
I don't. But like, that's what it seems like.
No, exactly.
Like, I mean, we all knew it last year. We all know it this year. I mean, and the thing that kills me is like, we all pray, like, prove everybody wrong. Like, we don't care who's coaching. We don't care. At least most of us don't care on the team. Like, we just want to see them win regardless of any of that. Like, I would be gladly wrong all day, every day, if it meant the team was winning. Like, I could care less.
Yeah.
Or couldn't care less. But like, it's, I mean.
No, I mean, it's, yeah, it's sad.
It's, you know, it's the vent that we always vent, and then
yeah,
we get it out and then we're good.
Fast therapy session for sure. This is good for me. Yeah. The thing that's kind of sad is, you know, and I never root for the Kings to lose. I don't. But in this situation tonight, especially considering who they're playing, because as you said, like, if they end the losing streak, then it's just going to be what? Okay, well, next time I won't allow it. You know, it's, we're just waiting around for it to get worse, essentially. I want them to go out tonight and get steamrolled by Detroit. And then if they don't decide to fire him, then go to Minnesota, forgetting who they're playing next, and lose to them. That way, without question, they'd have to get rid of him. And then Friday, when I'm sitting in the stands watching the game against the Raptors, I don't have to watch Luke Walton look confused in like a moron on the sidelines. I get to watch Alvin Gentry do that instead. And so it's like, I'm going to root for them to lose tonight, Jill. I am, because let's rip this Band-Aid off. Stop fucking with me. Let's just get it over with. I don't care anymore, but I do. I'm like too invested and I'm not invested.
But this is my thing too. Even if they lose, I'm not even sold, right? That they actually do it. Like, I will always root for them to win, because I don't believe that they, like, until they do something, it's not shown me anything.
Quick facts on Alvin Gentry, just for everyone with their,
but I don't blame anyone that feels either way.
Yeah. I don't blame him either. People keep dragging home. You want to know what Alvin Gentry has done? Because he's going to be the interim coach if and when they fire Walton. I don't know. I'd be surprised if anyone else would get the promotion, you know, as much as we like Doug Christie. Gentry's 67, really good collegiate point guard in his day, has been a head coach of 5 different teams, starting in 95 with the Miami Heat, was obviously most recently the Pelicans head coach. Here's a stunning thing, though. When I was just looking up shit about Alvin Gentry, I'm surprised by how poor of a head coach overall he's actually been in his time. Alvin Gentry has not been a very good head coach, despite the fact he's coached for a lot of teams. He's got a career record of 510 and 595. So he's lost 85 more games than he's won.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, and that's the thing is, and then if you go look at the rosters of each of the teams, like, that he coached, you wouldn't be surprised. Similar to why, when I say, like, it's so hard for me to say Kings coaches are good or bad, because I don't feel like they actually have
a chance.
I mean, yeah, like, fail with a good team, and then I can say, okay, like, mm-hmm, you really are bad. But I mean, a coach could very well be meh, but not be good enough to turn around under average team, because there are coaches out there, right, that do that. They get the most out of guys that you would not expect. And
Nate McMillan last year as an interim coach kind of surprised everybody, because he had been
like
a good coach, but a loser in the sense that, like, he would never get out of the first round.
Now, like, this year, now they've kind of fallen apart. And then I think they just won last night to kind of end their streak. But it's like, I mean, you just, I would say, like, some of his rosters were
through,
like, and he on did par with some of the Kings ones, but I mean, that's par for the course. I mean, it's, but at the end of the day, that's what you have to go back on, right? Like, that's
the numbers don't lie. He did make the conference semifinals in 2009 with the Suns. They had a very good team then with Steve Nash. They lost to the Lakers that year. And then he did make playoffs with the Pelicans. He was there for a while, though. Not much success other than the 2017
season. And the year that he took them there, like, that was one of their best rosters. And that one, and then the one with DeMarcus, and they were rolling prior to him getting hurt. And then it kind of fell apart after that. So, I mean, there's some circumstances there, but it's like, look, the Kings brought in George Karl, right? And we were like the one team that he couldn't take, like, that he was not able to take in the 1 year. So, I mean, and there are plenty of situations too where you hire a good coach, but then you don't even give them a team that fits their build, right? Like
they fit Gendry's build, I would think.
Though. And so no. I'm just saying, like, no, in general, like that it's so it's just kind of
that was, you know, just
when
for
looking at styles.
True. It's that was just for anyone, you know, holding out hope that Gendry could be the savior. I'm gonna go ahead and assume not. However, they would play, I think, a little bit more exciting basketball. They would definitely be
more offensive oriented than Luke, though, right?
Oh, of course.
That's where you would fall back on if you're hoping he
and the players like him too.
He can change it.
And he was a player too, kind of like Walton. You know, he can connect with these guys.
He got some passion. I mean, he just went after David Griffin.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. That is true. I do like that. I get more Jaeger vibes from him than Walton vibes, because he will snap and he will get animated. I have always said I like that, especially with this team that seems like they need to be shaken awake at times. I'm okay with Gentry being that guy, you know?
Well, you know what I mean? And credit to, you know, there was a time when Jaeger said, like, I'm not really built to coach this style. Like, I've never really had to do the run and gun. Like, I've always been that grit and grind.
Yeah.
And he was just like, F it. Like, if we're going all in, we went all in. And that was, you know, their most successful season. Adapt. Yes, we can all say it didn't last, but he got the most right out of, and every season, to me, isn't that what a coach is trying to do? If you're really trying to go all in, you're trying to get the most out of your guys, whether you think that's sustainable or not. And he got the most out of his guys. We've yet to see that, you know what I mean? And Luke kind of seemed to be doing that at the end of the second half, right before the pandemic hit. And we haven't seen it. You know what I mean? Like, and we've seen it in flashes since, but again, like,
hey, they've been flashy. I'll give them that. That's kind of been the story of,
but the end of the day, like even prior to Luke, like this core has been this core, and we just have never seen them jump from A to B. Like it's in any consistent fashion.
I will ask you, and I think I just answered it, but I don't know if that's updated or not.
And you're paying all the money to that core.
Yep.
So you should be seeing consistent jumps.
Is Roy Rana, whatever his name is. Is he
He's
still
not
a coach?
With them anymore. No.
No, I liked him.
He was one of the couple that left this last year.
Okay, because I hadn't heard anything about it. I haven't seen him. That was the guy.
He didn't announce it. He just is.
Yeah, he just stuck out the back door. For people that don't know who he was a behind the bench coach, but he had a lot of coaching experience in Canada, and a good track record.
Big name there. Yeah.
Yeah, big, huge name in Canada. And so that was actually like a sneaky guy I wanted to get promoted last year if Walton was fired. Because the attention was obviously on Gentry. They were going to name Gentry if they did it. But I was like, I would like to see if Rana got a chance. Rana, however you would say it. Because that guy, I feel like, could surprise. But that bumps me out now. Because now, yeah, it's really Gentry or nobody that's stepping into the roles, which just makes me so not excited for what's to come. What is to come, though? Detroit tonight and then Timberwolves on Wednesday. Last game of the four-game road trip. Best case scenario at this point is 2-2, which was how they finished in the last road trip. It would be an inverse of the last road trip because they won the first two games of that first road trip, lost the last two. Kings' best case scenario now is losing the first two, winning the first two. I call that consistency, Jill, if they do it.
Well, and in most circumstances, you're asking for a 500 road trip. It's just right.
These opponents were not.
They just, right.
You remember we said that we thought they could be 4-0. In this road trip. I can't believe we got
it. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, if it was anybody else, I would have said, like, I'll take a 500, and maybe that's just on me. Like, but at this point, you know, and the other thing Jokic said was, you shouldn't look at anybody as a automatic win. Like once that happens, what do you say? Like you're toast, you're done.
Oh yeah.
You're done. I mean, because at the end of the day, these are all NBA players and they're all fighting for something. Right. And we've yet to see that fight from this team. And if this team cares as much as they say they care about Luke.
Show it tonight.
They haven't been showing it. So, yeah. They come out 500 on the road trip. Then we'll wait for the next cycle.
Yeah, you should keep everything in neutral is how I look at it. Tough to do this podcast at times, Jill. I know it's, you've been doing it a little longer than me, but I'm just like, you know, I'm always happy to hop on and talk with you, of course. But like today, for sure, I was like, Matt, you know, I was like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, I'm already trying to get over my Raiders yesterday losing, getting annihilated on Sunday Night Football. And now I got to go talk about my other team. Thank God I'm a Giants fan. Otherwise, I would have given up on sports 10 years ago. Because they're the only franchise I follow that's given me any sort of happiness.
And this is where I feel bad for the younger. And I know some of the younger ones would even say maybe they feel worse for some of us, where the Kings came to Sacramento the year I was born. Right. And so I haven't seen any different my whole life, like since the 80s. Like this, I've seen eight years of 500 basketball in 30 something years. Like
it's so that's nuts.
Like, I feel bad for ones that are younger and they've just never seen winning. Mm-mm. Where like, we never saw winning. We saw like, you know, 8 years of it and then it was wiped out again, but it's been another 15 and we waited 15 prior to seeing the eight and we're waiting again, but it's just always been extremes. Like, I mean, like they've never been like horrible enough. They had 1 year where they should have had the number one pick, Blake Griffin's year. They hit, you know, the worst thing that could happen to the worst team in the lottery was you fall all the way back. You know, that the number one could fall back to.
Right.
And, but then that everything else has been about trying to win because they've never won before. So, I mean, I get it in that sense that it's, you know what I mean? And so it just creates this cycle of, yeah. And until you can land that big trade, like they, right. They did the Mitch and for Weber. And then, you know, you had J-Will for Bibby, but like, Asia, those are big names, right?
Artest. Again,
like in our 15 years, like, yes. And then you had Peja for our test, but within the 15 year drought, like, again, our two best are, no offense to Rudy Gary, Harrison Barnes, but like,
well,
they're
yeah.
good pieces around if you actually have something. If you don't, then you just feel bad for them.
I looked back on some of the trades, like when they traded Artest to the Rockets, they got Dante Green in a first round pick. I don't remember who the first round pick was used on. Nobody important, clearly. Mike Bibby trade was just horrible. I hate to even think about that when they traded him to the Hawks, who they got in return, because it was Joe. It was nobody. It was nobody that helped shift the team forward, you know?
And you know why a lot of us now hate hearing the money talk is because for those years when the Maloofs were so good, when they lost money everywhere else, they started siphoning our team. They why we make the cash consideration jokes, why we make all those things is because all those things happened and nothing came back. And you just kept in that you had nothing to trade for anything.
Yeah.
Like, and then they started drafting to players that they thought would make jersey sales and all these other things. Like,
Jimmer.
It's been a continuous thing of like about owners and money and not necessarily,
yeah,
you know, stuff on the court. And so you get, I mean, and you can see how nothing has really changed in that sense for a lot of things.
No, we always thought it couldn't be worse than the Maloofs. Boy, was that, you know, where were we wrong? We really fooled ourselves. At least we're still in SAC, I guess, Jill. Hashtag
optimism. The difference was at least the Maloofs had like a good run for a while before it all
crashed
down. They have
something to
pride themselves on. And you know what I mean?
On.
Like, had the Kings actually won the championship and had they not lost all their money elsewhere, I don't know if they would have gone that route, but it's like, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, like we all love that Vivek saved the team, but we haven't seen, and he does great stuff off the court, right?
Oh,
with
yeah.
the community and things like that. But
great
at the end of the day, when it comes to basketball, it just has, you know, fallen flat.
Who was Kevin Martin traded for? Carl Landry? Is that right? That one hit the hardest for me because I was Kmart era.
That was the move that Houston ended up getting all that and then sent him, and that got them James Harden.
Just this domino effect.
We helped that out.
What are the Kings
get? We helped that out, yeah.
Carl Landry and Chuck Hayes in free agency. I remember Chuck Hayes being like the big free agent signing of my childhood. Chuck Hayes. They gave him a lot of money.
Oh, and it's always, just wait when they're going to clear all that salary out. No one's choosing to sign. Like people that choose to sign here are ones that have been here before and know like, okay, cool. That's a cool place. Like, but they know what they're getting into, right? Like it's really rare that you end up signing anybody that hasn't been here. Like it's like free agency money does us nothing and it never has. It's the draft.
Not when you're Sacramento.
And trades.
Which Monty's at least drafted.
And especially with the history you have, like, change it around and maybe then you could get some traction, but when you're still floundering and firing everybody and not winning, like, why would you choose that? I mean, I get it when it terms of money, but at that point, then it's a player wanting money and not necessarily like Holmes got his money and he stayed here because it was like, cool, you know?
Right. But, well, I know that's why we all love
him. But we all know if he got money elsewhere, he would have he would have gone elsewhere. Like,
hadn't lowballed him.
I mean, realistically, it wasn't like he took less that's just to stay.
No. Let's end on this, Jill, because again, we don't need to dive into the Pistons game. You know, we know they're going to play a basketball game tonight. Do we really want to watch?
Yeah.
But top three, just putting you on the spot, head coaching candidates to replace Luke Walton.
Oh,
you can't do it. You don't have any.
I have made this statement and I'm going to continue to make it. I will not throw anybody else out there until a move actually made.
Okay. So like, then when that happens, we'll come back.
That's a respect thing. Like, you all know I have my list and all that, but it's one thing I'm going to keep consistent on is I'm not going to throw it out there until.
Yeah, that's fine. That's nice. Luke Walton probably appreciates that. You're being nicer to him than anyone currently is elsewhere in Sacramento.
Yeah. And I mean, you know me and my jinxes and all that. I'm not throwing anything out until
this would be a
and
jinx
giving or giving hurt. Myself also, like, if you all know I list in the off season that I was excited about. So until something happens, it's not worth me to get other people's hopes. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I respect it, but
no,
I'll stand firm on that.
I that's impressive. I applaud you for that. Truthfully. I have no respect for Luke Walton, but we'll end it there today. I really don't think there's much more we can discuss. I'm just going to get more and more sad. I think my tone of voice is just slowly started to get like more and more quiet. I'm on the verge of breaking down.
I mean,
if you have anything,
The Timberwolves had their losing streak, right? And then they had lost 6 or 7 in a row. And then go figure, they go to Staples Center, right? And like, they killed the Lakers. Hilarious. Well, now they've been fined $250,000 as an organization because they organized off-season practice outside of their team market. But this was in September. Right. And I guess they went to like Alex Rodriguez's house in Miami. They had dinner there with him and the minority ownership.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I forgot. A-Rod owns the team.
And the teams aren't allowed to organize or pay for off-season group workouts outside of your outside market.
Also interesting that A-Rod owns the team. I keep forgetting that.
There's always like weird rules. Random. Like, I know we did the workouts in LA, but it was open and there were other teams doing it. Like, they weren't sanctioned. Like,
right. It was like an open gym.
Kings workouts, right? It was, you had people from the Rockets there. You had the Pistons there. You had them. They partnered with the Raptors. Like, there was, you know, I mean, and it was optional. Like, it wasn't. And they all work with Rico during the summer anyway. So it wasn't, you know what I mean? For all those outside teams, but I guess like this one, it was like they paid for it and they flew everybody to Miami. And
I would like to go to A-Rod's house. I wouldn't mind that. Can you imagine how that house looks like? It's $400 million contract he got from the Yankees or whatever ridiculous thing it was for all those years.
And I'm sure that, I mean, and the spoil that they gave the players, I'm sure was ridiculous.
He has like a makeup brand and Mark, now too. Yeah. A-Rod. I'm sure they all got home.
The money
with
between
bags.
Mark and him. I mean, yeah.
So yeah, Timberwolves next on Wednesday in Minnesota. That's the last of the road trip. I'm not even going to say they're two winnable games these Monday, Wednesdays, because nothing's winnable anymore, but I don't
Kings
know what
to
believe.
Kings have to prove the games can be.
Yeah, and that's so true. I regret that I even ever thought that they could actually win all these games.
Like, I'm not, because at this point, like, why would I tune in every year or want to talk about it if I didn't have hope? I mean, I already know I'm stupid for having hope or believing otherwise. But again, I wouldn't spend my time watching or talking if I didn't think maybe this is the one time that they figure it out.
That's a good trademark for Kings fans. Kings fans, stupidly hopeful.
Like, I had no problem with people being hopeful and I had no problem with people going the opposite. But the day I actually stop believing something can turn around.
Is the day you stop watching.
Is the day I stop watching. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, We'll watch tonight. I'm kidding. I know we will. I'd rather watch this in the Sunday night or Monday night football game anyway. I want to break from football for a minute. So we'll see how the Kings respond to Detroit, the mighty test that is Cade Cunningham and Jerami Grant. And it's going to get interesting, Jill. It's going to be an interesting another week or so ahead of us in the Sacramento King land to see how they respond, what happens, if Luke sticks around, if Fox can find that groove and stay with it. If the trade is on a horizon, who knows?
Will Detroit be that Bagley trade? There's so many options. Yeah.
I meant to say that. Thank you for reminding me. They won't do this. Walton won't. But I'm almost hoping they just like throw Bagley out for 20 minutes as like a showcase and just hope. Just like set up plays for him. Like try and get him as many.
I saw people saying do it and then others saying don't because they don't want it to like.
Or what if he gets hurt? Because he always gets hurt. If
something could happen.
Someone looks at him and he just, you know, breaks his leg.
So I don't know.
So it's a good point. But it would be an ideal situation in front of the home fans too. And then the coach.
I mean, if he played well, it could work in their favor. But if not, then you just don't.
I think he's ready. I think he would play well if they gave him a chance. It's also Detroit and they've been
horrible. But this is the thing is.
Offensively and defensively.
They gave him a chance before. He said no. Like, I don't know how this team feels about it. Like they haven't said anything publicly, right? And we haven't seen, you know, we don't know what's happened behind the scenes of, I mean, are players wanting him or not wanting it? Like I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I mean, because the guys that said I would go in are the guys that are right. Metu was the one that was rewarded for
Metu gets rewarded for giving a shit. I mean, that's
so
as he should.
It's just a shitty situation and one that they made on their own.
Yep. Self-inflicted, as are all the King's mistakes.
Just add to the list.
We're running out of paper.
Why is Bagley trending?
What's that? Did Bagley?
I just saw it said Bagley was trending.
Uh-oh. Are we missing something, Jill?
Five-team NBA trade would set fire to the league.
Okay. So it's just some stupid.
Barnes, Bagley, Heald, Thompson, Mitchell, 28 first, 23 second, in Karl-Anthony Towns. KCP, Bohan Bogdanovich. Oh my God, they put a five team. Like, I'm not even like trying to read all that.
No, because it's never going to happen. Pistons
Nation is all about talking about Bagley tonight.
I'm not surprised.
I'm already seeing it. Like, yeah.
It would be helpful for maybe if we're going to accommodate Marvin, why not trade him while you're there and just let him go to the other locker room? I always love when that happens with teams when they trade when they play in each other. Like, all right, dude, get your shit. You can walk across the arena. You can go to the other locker room. Just save you some time. But that'll do it for us on this Monday episode of the Hoopball Sacramento Kings podcast. Kings are still playing basketball. It's not over yet, guys. I just sound like I've lost hope because I kind of have, but that's just life as a Kings fan. So Detroit tonight, we'll see if they can get back in the win column, snap the 4-game losing streak. Otherwise the wheels will continue to fall off and me and Jill will have more to talk about on Wednesday regardless, actually. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Later, dudes.